just speak kind of from my heart. A lot of our society today in which we live is upside down from the scriptures. There's a lot of enemies against the devil working against the things that God has laid down in His Word. And there was a question asked, says, what is the kingdom of God, of heaven like unto? A lot of people think that all it is to serving God or Christianity is professing Christ and believing in Him, and that is part of it. But it's a lot more. That's just the beginning of it. And it says that, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. And we hear a lot today against the family, against marriage. Even this week, there was a person commentary on the news, and I believe it might have been the vice president that said that one way that we can get our nation under control and our economy and the environment and all of that is by decreasing the population. And another individual made the statement that marriage is outdated, that it's no longer in vogue or popular. Here in Matthew 19, Jesus were at the first few verses that He was talking to some individuals, the Pharisees. Says it came unto Him in verse 3, and saying unto Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered and said unto them, have you not read that He which hath made them at the beginning made them male and female? Washington and our politicians needs to be told that. They need to read that. And all of these other genders that they put out, transgender, and I don't know what all else, I don't know what all that is, but God said in His Word that there is two. There is He made male and female. And so that's all that it is as far as I'm concerned, is the scriptures unconcerned. And it says, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one, and what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And so we know that. And I know this thing of divorce and all is a touchy subject, and it is probably in the majority today. even among professing Christians, is in majority. And that's sad to me. But we as the people of God, and Jesus, some people was questioning him and said, well, why did Moses give a bill of divorcement that you could put her wife away? He said it was because Moses did that because of the hardness of your hearts. That they had a desire to get rid of their wives and to have relations with maybe ungodly women or idolatrous women or whoever it was. But he said, "It's for I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication or unfaithfulness, and shall marry another, commits adultery, and whoso marries her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." And so, but he says that from the beginning, this was not so. So I don't know, evidently God didn't have provisions in his original plan for divorce. Because he says what God has put together, brought together, let no man put asunder. I don't know, I may be off base there, but that's what it seemed to me. He says that it wasn't so from the beginning. So, but I say all of that to come to the point here of the kingdom of heaven is to be, what is it likened unto? And children, the scripture tells us, are a blessing from the Lord. And the scripture says, blessed is the man that has his quiver full. And so, children are a blessing, and I believe the Lord recognized that, and he showed attention to children in his ministry. And in verse 13 of Matthew 19, it says, "And there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him." So the disciples had a little problem there themselves. And so, but Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now, children, when the Lord says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto children. Now, children is, has faith in and total dependency upon your parents for providing for you for livelihood, for shelter, for food, for all things. So children are completely dependent upon their parents or someone to take care of them. So it is with the kingdom of God. When we enter into the kingdom of God, we cannot enter in the kingdom of God in pride or being, having an attitude of self-sustaining. Our attitude in the kingdom of God is made up as of a little child, which is totally dependent. And this is what this means for us as the children of God, that we are to have the attitude and the characteristics of children in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if we could, but we know that we believe and know that we, every person is born into this world, is born lost sinners, depraved. And that we have to be regenerated by the working power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning of it. Then, by the submission and the working power of the Holy Spirit, that we are brought to a point that we are to humble ourselves before our mighty God. And I don't believe pride can enter into the kingdom of God. There is an account in Isaiah where Lucifer got prideful. And he said 5 times that I will be like the Most High God. And God threw him out. So, in Proverbs, the Lord teaches us that the Lord hates a proud look. So, in order for us to be a part of the kingdom of God, I believe that we are to be as this little children. Now, in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4, there was an incident when the Lord said at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now we know in one occasion that Jesus told Peter, wasn't it? Was it Peter? That he says, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Now this word converting, is far more than a mental acknowledgement of the truth or the intellectual absence of certain ideas. To become as a little child means to be characterized by faith and humility and obedience. So faith, when we are born again by the Spirit of God, then we are to be converted by the preaching of the gospel in order that we might be to come in the image of Jesus Christ and become as a little child that we would enter into the kingdom of God. So faith. In Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation or your manner of life or your behavior or your manners be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. That's what he's talking about here. That we are to become as to be conform to the image of Jesus Christ. This is in faith. And this is what a child has, complete faith in their parents or someone to take care of them. So it is with a child of God. And that we know that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He has before ordained that we should walk in them. So there is a conversion or faith that comes about after faith, that we, the faith that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Humility. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man it is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Christian humility is that grace which makes one think of himself no more highly than he ought to think. It requires us to feel that in God's sight we have no merit, and in honor prefer our brethren to ourselves. That we are to think upon others more than we are to think upon ourselves. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves as a little child. In dependency more upon God. It makes us feel that, and we should have a feeling, that there is no merit in us. It is all because of the grace of our God. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So who is, the question was asked, who is great? Luke 22:24. And there was also a strife among the disciples to them which they should be, who would be accounted the greatest. They had pride, didn't they? They had some things they had to get straight. And the Lord told them, says, it's not the one that sits in meat here, but he said, I sit in meat with you, but I serve you. You know, Jesus Christ, there at the Passover supper when he washed the disciples' feet. Him being God humbled himself to wash a lost sinner's feet. So how much more should we as individuals should humble ourselves to serve others more than ourselves. So he said, that I have done this unto you, and I have set the example for you. So we are to do what the example to follow Christ. And in Luke 22:26-27 says, "But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doeth serve." You know, Christ was the chief there. He was God. But he got up and he served. "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that serveth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." So, and the third is obedience. As a branch of Christian ethics is to be viewed not only with respect to the relation existing between God and man and between man and society, but also with respect to the examples of Christ and man's relation to Him. It is important, the relationship that we have between us and God, and we are to honor Him in all of our dealings, whether we are in society or working or whatever we do. We are to be the witnesses and the example to reflect Christ. Perfect obedience to the commandments of God must be the object of our constant endeavor. It should be the desire of every true born-again believer, that should be his desire, that we please the Lord and that we keep His commandments as much as we, in us that we can. Now, we know that God kept the commandments for us because we couldn't keep them for ourselves. But God expects us, I believe, as His people, to, by His grace, to be as close to Him as we can be in this life. Now, the Lord made a statement one time, and I don't understand, but He said, "You to be ye perfect, for I am perfect." Now, I know that we're not going to be perfect or sinless. We are perfect, or we are complete in Christ. But we won't be sinless, or we won't be separated from the presence of sin until the Lord comes back and takes us out of here. The imperfect results of even our most strenuous efforts, however, reveal the necessity of God's grace in Christ. We need Christ. We need Him. Nevertheless, then, entire self, surrender to God, and reverence, trust can make this grace available. We are to be completely sold out, if you want to say it that way, to God and to serve Him. And our surrender to Him and reverence to the truth can make this grace available and show forth to the world that who we really are. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." You know, there was a rich young ruler approached Jesus one day and said, "Master, good master, what can I do to, what work can I do to inherit everlasting life?" Well, we know the incident where Jesus told him he was rich and he told him to go and sell everything he had and give to the poor and come and follow me. And he says, keep the commandments and you're into life. But the Lord was showing to him his self-righteousness there, that he couldn't keep the commandments without apart from God. And then he was talking to him and he told him, go sell what you have, give to the poor and come follow me. And the disciples, further on down there, the disciples says, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus said unto them, it is impossible with man. Man can't be saved. We are destitute beyond what we even realize and think. We cannot be saved. Man, he says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, I believe that if it wasn't for the power and the grace of Almighty God taking the initiative to quicken a lost sinner, impart eternal life unto him by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, that there would be nobody saved. Not even the elect would be saved. It is impossible with man. Even the elect can't save the self. God has to save them. So, there is no room for pride in the kingdom of God. We are, if we enter into the kingdom of heaven, we're going to have to be and become as a little child. There is no pride in the kingdom of heaven. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 21:4 says, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Isn't that sad? A poor old farmer that is lost out here trying to make a living, plowing his fields. In the sight of God, that's sin. And that's sad. He that is of a proud heart, Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be fed. Proverbs 30:12, and I believe this is where we are today. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne, we come thanking you, God, that you are God. Besides you, there is none other. Heavenly Father, we ask for mercy as a nation, as a people. We are a needy people. And Lord, that we can do nothing without Thee. And Heavenly Father, I just pray for the lost sinners today, Lord, that You would touch their hearts, that You would send the Word out and let it be effectual to whoever You desire to be effectual to. And Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise that You are God, that You saved our souls. Have mercy on us. Let us be a member of one of Your churches. We thank You for the pastors and the preachers that stand and preach Your word. We'll be careful to give You all the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that's accomplished. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.